All right, so 2026, this is the first coaching call of the year. And it's always hard to think about that. Like, what day is this? We've come out of 2 weeks that we're like, what day is this? I still feel like I'm a little bit in that. Like, this can't really be a full week, can it? So, Happy New Year. I have spondylosis, which has been stable for years. Recent doctor's appointment was informed it's currently unstable. When I work out, I often experience pain related to it in my back, leg, hip, and hip flexors before I'm able to reach true muscular fatigue. I was looking for advice on how to manage this while continuing to exercise safely. If you have any suggestions, it would be appreciated. I've noticed that on a leg press machine, I'm usually able to reach muscular fatigue before experiencing pain. However, I don't always have access to a gym. To work around this, I purchase resistance bands to simulate a leg press at home, and I found several demonstration videos online, but the techniques vary quite a bit. Do you have any recommendations or videos that show the best way to perform a banded leg press to target different parts of the legs effectively? My intention is to stay consistent. Let me let a couple more people in here. And there's nothing as far as a video that I can put my hands on and send you directly to, Michelle, but I think it sounds like you've come up with a solution that it may be that you're in a posture that will allow you resistance, but not necessarily weight bearing, and that might be a part of it that is making it a little bit easier for you to do it. So I would just suggest to you that you're looking for, am I feeling it in the right muscles and, not feeling it in the wrong places, and reaching the fatigue or discomfort and pain before you reach the muscular fatigue. But I also want to say this to you and to anybody else here who this applies for. I think just in the last, well, I wrote about it on Sunday, which is just yesterday, isn't it? Must have been a long weekend. There's a lot of research coming out, and I think in light of what we've seen in the last 8 years, is more research showing it's absolutely safe for postmenopausal women with osteoporosis to lift heavy or do high impact. That doesn't mean it's the only way that you can increase muscle strength and/or muscle mass or bone density, and it doesn't mean that you have to, but it opens up wide open for women who want to, who can, who enjoy it, feel good doing it. Now there's a whole wide continuum. And will there be a point of plateau? The research also seems to show that. However, I'm always brought back when I say that to the interview that I did with Lauren Fishman about the fact that yoga, 12 minutes a day, increased bone density 1% year over year for a 7-year longitudinal study. And that was not increasing load. That was not doing heavy. That is muscle pulling on bone, creating tension and creating a unique gravitational force that we might not have during other times of our daily living. So I think that begs the question, are we looking at bone density wrong, and looking at it only from a point of load? And maybe we've had limiting beliefs, and by collective, that collective we, I mean researchers in general about what works. We discovered high impact actually does work, and we know that if we have adolescents who play gymnastics versus adolescents who swim in their 20s and 30s, those adolescents who were gymnasts have better bone density. we know we can build it in that way. And we also do know and did find out that we can reverse bone loss by increasing the load and conscientiously doing high intensity, but it didn't rule out the idea that doing less can also be beneficial. And I want you to remember that studies say reps in reserve, meaning leaving a few on the table, is still conducive for gaining strength and muscle mass. You come close to it and you can still gain it. You don't have to reach absolute temporary fatigue. If you're able to, do you gain a little edge? Potentially, yes, but almost always, notoriously, in all fitness studies, you will find that the greatest gains come from get off the couch and start doing moderate exercise. That gets you 75 to 80% of the benefit you're going to get from an exercise routine come from doing that. And then if you go from moderate to vigorous, you get another significant bump, but it's not as big as that one. And then if you go to being elite, you may get a tiny little bit more health and longevity benefit. Now you might, if you're an Olympic athlete, you have to live there, but you probably can't sustain that level. And there may be long-term damage depending on your sport, because you've got to do something fairly extreme for a long period of time. You know, I don't know if we go back and we look at all those gymnasts, right, who did so well for so long, but hours and hours a day. You know, I think some of them also have damage. So it's Dr. Stuart McGill, who is a world-renowned back pain expert, you know, often is heard saying, don't be greedy. Just because you can lift heavy doesn't mean that you should. And certainly doesn't mean you want to all the time. And so I want to remind any of you who feel like you're limited, you can't do as much as you want to, don't plant that seed in your head that what you're doing now is not beneficial. So as long as you come close, leaving a few repetitions in reserve, not actually reaching complete muscle fatigue, may still be very, very beneficial, and try not to plant the seed otherwise. So you're doing everything that you can at this point. So I say that for you, Michelle, but for anybody else as well who may find themselves in that boat, either right now in this moment or at some point in the future, still doing what you can do is extremely beneficial. Patty Collins says smile power. Okay. My intention is consistency. Sylvie echoes that. Leanne says, oops, I'm gonna move my cursor here. It keeps getting my own way. Get outside every day, no matter what the weather. I hear that. I have a dog who also hears that, so that's a good thing. Michelle said, I would love that. Katie said, get and stay hydrated. Leslie says, intention is build a habit of regular workouts, gain strength, and get in shape with a little weight loss too. Awesome. Lift heavier, Connie says this one, and the protein challenge. Awesome. Amber, intention, get up earlier to get workouts in the morning and purchase a power plate. Awesome. Right now, actually, Amber, flipping50.com/power plate for all of you, just our community, it's 25% off. Again, right now, and I think that ends maybe the 11th. I want to say it's because I think it's my son's birthday, so it is still on now. It's not on for everybody, but it is on for you. If you go to flipping50.com/power plate, code flipping50. Word for the year is health. Awesome. Shirley says, my intention is to get restorative sleep. Good. Are we on our way? How did the sleep study go? Jerry said, work on better sleep habits. Lori says, I would love coaching. Awesome. Lori, can you be there live on Wednesday the 14th? And that is same time as this call, actually. So we still are slated for 5 p.m. Central, I believe. Alice said, I would love to volunteer to be one too. Okay, so Alice and Lori, would you send a message to just support at flipping50.com just so that I know that I've got you both? And if you can be there live, you just got ticket one and ticket two. Carolyn said, Happy New Year using the app and was happy to easily find some strengthening exercises for my knees. Been cranky, as you would say lately. It was eye-opening to me that one leg is much weaker than the other while doing these exercises. Been doing them daily, hoping the crankiness goes away. Should I also be doing the hip opener exercise or just focus on knees for now? Yes, that's such a great question because it immediately popped into my head that I think for immediate gratification, which we all want, let's just face that. I think doing some limited range of motion and doing those knee strengthening exercises, super beneficial. But I also think almost always, you and me and everybody that we know think that our glutes are really strong, especially if you can squat or you leg press and somebody else thinks, oh, that's really good. You know, we're getting praise, but it's all relative. So what you're worried about, I think, is your glute medial muscle. I would say all of us, every single one of us, self-included, could benefit from regularly coming back to the glute challenge. And so those of you who are going to do total reset with me or who want to do the continuous glucose challenge, that's like we don't need to layer on, you know, three challenges all at once. It's a long year. Let's just stay in it for the long term. But there may be one or two exercises that you could just work into your routine to say, okay, I'm definitely going to work on my glute medial muscle. And I am in a place where I don't have a piece of tubing with me right here, but if I did, let me see. Going to use my computer screen a little bit, and it's probably going to be really dark down here. I'm just going to, so this is my cord for my computer. This is not what to do, okay? So, but imagine this is here, and you're just going to see parts of me, so bear with me. But what I would be doing if I wanted to do this with my right knee is I would have this attached over here, where you are, and I would be down here in a lunge, and I would have the resistance so that it's pulling my knee that way. And in order to not do that, I have to activate my glute over here. So I'd be in a lunge, and I'm pressing, and I don't have to move. So I'm just holding this lunge position, pushing my heel down, and then I have just minor up and down. So that I'm really pushing the heel down because that engages the glute medius. And then having to resist my leg being pulled in, I'm pressing it outside and going down and up here gets me a lot of work. So I'm going to plug my computer back in. I would never use my computer cord, but I wanted you to imagine that as a band. And if I were going to do one exercise for my glute medial muscle, that would be it. And I would do it on both sides. And I would just go back and forth and try and do maybe 10 really good. Push that heel down into the ground, press it out to the side, and just go lower and lifting 2 inches. That's it. But you're turning on that glute medial muscle so that then if you go in to do squats or lunges, you will feel it that much more. You'll be more aware of it. It's like it's gotten a wake-up call. So that also, I think, is like a one-two punch for knees. And so, yes, we still doing that limited range of motion, I believe, turns on your vastus medialis, gets you aware of it. You want to think of it as nobody wears pantyhose anymore, but it's like pull your pantyhose up is kind of the, it makes your quadricep pull that knee up and inside and doesn't let it slip out. But we also need that glute medial muscle to keep the knee tracking, because otherwise our knees tend to want to go in. So both of those together would be super, super beneficial. Catherine said, what alternate exercise do you suggest if I don't have a ball? Sorry, again, my cursor is making crazy things happen. I travel frequently for hamstring exercises, no injuries or limitations, thankfully. So there's a couple of things. One of them is really tricky, and I'll throw that one in second. But I would do single leg bridges. So you come up on the floor on your back, no ball. You just have feet flat, knees bent. Come up into a bridge. And then lift one leg off the floor. And I tend to bring mine high in the air just to get it out of the way, and then come up and down. Now it's much more glute than it is hamstrings, because the hamstrings actually need to do hip extension, and you are getting some of that, but just so that you and I are both aware, it's much more glute, but you are getting a lot of work in that single glute that you don't otherwise if you're doing both. So I would do single leg bridges, and I would also look at it as it's a great reason to do it, something we should probably do anyway. The other alternative to really get a hamstring curl, if you can, if you're traveling and you're at a hotel or you're somewhere where you've got to wait, and if that's not true, you don't have that option, flush this one. But you could lie down on a bench or the floor and you manage to get your feet around that dumbbell and then bring it up and down in literally like a machine leg curl at a gym if you were laying down. So you can bring them up and down, go very slowly, and even a weight that might be a 10-pound weight, and your legs could probably lift far more, will feel heavy because twofold, you're pulling the feet together to squeeze it. So there's some static tension there in the muscles. And then as you pull them up and back, you're really firing them overall to stabilize and come in and out. So you could do either or of those. And there's probably a way that you could leverage a band a little trickier. So it's going to need to be something that's anchored to the wall that's not going to move, like a chair would move with you if you were pulling from it. So that might be a little more difficult. So I hope that one of those at least was very helpful. Alice said, when do they approve access to the Facebook group, please? So, Alice, are you asking about the Total Reset group? And if so, that should happen today, tonight. We had Becky in there and we actually spoke about it during the meeting. So, let me know if that is the group that you were interested in. And if not, if it's the Facebook group for membership, that generally she's on either early or late in the day. So one or two should be within the next 24 hours. Lori says, are goat milk products okay for the reset? They are. I usually only eat 2 meals a day, 3 meals. I feel so full. I ate the oatmeal. Whoops, I'm gonna have y'all mute just in case if you could. I ate the oatmeal this morning and I'm still full. Suggestions for eating more meals and protein. Just probably little bits, Lori, and we will talk a little bit tomorrow about and maybe that you're not breaking them down. So the challenge is they're sitting there and not digesting. And it's not unusual. So gut changes occur simultaneously with hormonal changes. And so that microbiome means good, bad bacteria, maybe not really helping. And our enzymes, we don't have in as great as abundance as we did when we were 20. So older adults, the older we get, unfortunately, we tend to need to help ourselves with that. So you hear a lot about apple cider vinegar, and the reason is this: it can stimulate a little bit more gastric juice, and so that your body can begin to regenerate a little bit and create some of it itself. You also hear about bitters, and sometimes there are sprays you could spray on your tongue. In the same way, you might think about right now, if you think about a lemon and lemon juice, as if I were going to give you one and ask you to suck on it. So right now, if you just thought of that for me, you might have found your mouth watered a little bit, or you puckered just from the thought of it. But that also can help stimulate and help break things down. So you get a little bit more gastric juice going on. You may get a little bit more support, but I and a lot of people will take digestive enzymes. So I'll talk about that as an option. And a lot of people will choose, no, I want to go the food route only, and that's okay. It may take a little bit longer. I like to do digestive enzymes, and I'll add sauerkraut to my meals, or add lemon juice and squeeze lemon over certain foods. I'll have apple cider vinegar or apple cider vinegar capsules, so it doesn't have to erode your enamel. Those are all ways that you can help stimulate the breakdown of foods, and that may help things move through you a little bit better. So that might be helpful. And we'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow if you're doing Total Reset. Renee said, working on balance in my exercise program and life. I do have a question. I'm participating in the Total Reset. If I am unable to participate in the call tomorrow, will you be? Yes, we will. So Renee, you should have gotten that email that delivered your materials, gave you the login information. And so within 48 hours by Thursday afternoon, and potentially sooner, we just want to give ourselves a little padding. So we're over delivering, not on under promising, and you'll be able to log in. And week 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all a part of that, logging into the page so that you can see, and you'll be able to go and see it as soon as it's up. Yep, absolutely. Stacy said, are there diminishing returns when I'm walking more than 30 minutes? I think I've heard you say something like this, but maybe it was someone else. So I would say probably not diminishing returns at 30 minutes. I think you're going to get the most at 30 minutes if you were doing nothing compared to that. However, and that might feel like, wait a minute, isn't that the same thing? You know, and I don't know that I would look at it the same. I do think that for a lot of women in menopause specifically, walking is the hidden treasure. That even if you were to say, well, I'm going to do more interval training and I'm going to do more moderate exercise of the cardio kind, or I'm going to do more weight training, I think walking actually is the biggest needle mover. And one of the reasons I believe so is because, yes, it's touted for being, it burns more fat, but it burns a higher percent of fat very slowly. It's really, that's not the thing. But it does it magically without elevating cortisol. In fact, walking is known to reduce cortisol. And for so many of us, we need that to open up the gate for fat burning so that we get out of our own way, so to speak. And we also need that support with blood sugar control. So moving, just moving at a self-selected pace more frequently throughout the day is beneficial. Is there a diminishing return on walking an hour at a time versus intermittently throughout the day? And I would say yes to that. But if you were total walking 60 minutes a day, that, depending on your step count, okay? I don't know how fast you go, but that equates to about 9,000 to 10,000 steps. And you're probably getting some incidental 1,000 steps here and there as well, right? So you're hitting that number, and that is overall more valuable than just going for one walk and then sitting the rest of the day. So I would not say there's diminishing returns for walking more than 30 minutes, but I would say you potentially will benefit more by breaking up your walking into 10-minute increments. If your goal is blood sugar control, it's been proven that walking 10 minutes after meals three times a day is more beneficial for blood sugar control than a 30-minute singular walk. That's not to say diminishing returns, depends what your goal is. If you're trying to increase endurance, you may benefit from that 30 minutes, you may need it. But many of us, I think the first goal we have to set is, I need stable blood sugar control, I need greater insulin sensitivity, I need to make sure I'm not increasing insulin so high, or that I can, because of the blood sugar, so that I can decrease the belly fat, and that comes first. So a long-winded answer, I hope that was helpful. Jerry said, thank you for that grace, you are welcome. Jenny said, my intention is to keep building muscle and bone density. Congrats. Linda says, yep, me too. Amy says, are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Linda said, intention, work on bone density. Amy says, be happy with what you can do now. Stephanie said, intention is to continually gain strength for bone density. Michelle said, we love coaching and could be there. Okay, so Michelle, you are number three. Could you three make sure that you reach out to support at flipping50.com? And then when you come in on Wednesday, the 14th, just log in and say, I'm your coaching student number three. I'm your coaching student number one, number two, and we will pull you up. So I'm going to share a model that we're going to release behind the scenes, kind of as a, I hesitate to say, a bot, I suppose. Sometimes they're called clones. So essentially it would be like you would be asking me, but if I weren't there, or you were asking and you had never met with Lynn, you would get support as if I were there. So it's actually going to help you sort out what inside of the membership will be the most helpful things and would be the things that you most right now, just first priorities would be for you to focus on this, at least at the moment, with the things that you're putting in. And so if you're postmenopausal, that one's not going to change, right? So you're not going to go back to being perimenopausal. But if you first put it in and you're perimenopausal, and then, you know, next year you're postmenopause, you might want to come back and do it again. And you can do it whenever you want to. But I'm going to teach you, because individually I'd like for all of you to be able to do it. And we're not going to hold you hostage. Someday you may leave, and I want you to know how to do this for yourself, no matter what, no matter where you are, and or to help coach a daughter or a sister out of where would you benefit the most. And it will also help you use all of the components inside of the membership easily, and may also help you make sense of why did we lay it out the way that we did in these specific categories. So in part, it's so if it says you'd be best to focus on not only your strength, but on mobility and agility and stability, you can go to those sections and know, I'm going to bookmark a couple of these workouts or start trying them so that I can bookmark the ones that I like. So I'll teach you all how to do that. Denise said, workout while traveling. Yeah, that's a great one. And Lori can be there live. That's great. Catherine said, is there a link that explains Which 12 yoga exercises are recommended for improving bone density in the study that has been previously referenced? Yeah, Catherine, if you're in the VIP membership, there is a 12 yoga pose challenge that outlines those, describes them. I've got a YouTube channel, and you can find them there if you're in the essentials, and you can also just Google either on YouTube or Google, because YouTube is a search engine and it will come up, Dr. Lauren Fishman's video. So he and his team, he's not the lead instructor. He's got a minion who's doing that for him. But you'll find his version of that. If you want to go through it with them, you can do that too. Shirley says, sleep study confirmed mild sleep apnea, oxygen level down. Forget the exact amount, but not all the time. I did a sleep study with a nasal CPAP, which was a little disappointing. Woke up around 3 to 4, which is my normal wake-up time. The techs couldn't tell me why, and I had to wait for doctor's report, which takes about 3 to 4 weeks. Hoping reports come soon. Still concerned about the CPAP as it left marks or rash on my nose and one cheek. I may need to go with the mouth CPAP. This process takes so long. Started in October, still don't have a definite solution. Wow, that is a shame. I'm sorry about that. Lori says also, is coconut water okay on the reset? So, Lori, I would opt for something that doesn't have sugar in it. So, and I know it's natural, but it's sugar nonetheless. So I would opt not to on that one. So Alice said no, the cafe one. The cafe Facebook group, I think, is what we're talking about. Okay. So I will make sure that the team is aware and they're circulating. Lori said, okay, perfect. Patty said, are the digestive enzymes Masszymes from Bioptimizer? Yes. So you can go to flipping50.com/Bioptimizer and put in code flipping50 for 15% off. And Sherelle says, Deborah, I have a question. My Fitbit says, I slept for 7.5 hours today, but it says fair. I usually ignore this because I don't fully trust technology and rely on how I feel instead. Today, I completed the Stronger 7 workout for week 2, along with 30-minute walk. Was planning on doing the reset, but not sure if I should or stay with the Stronger 7 workout. Been a member since July, but haven't lost any weight, but at least maintained it. So the reason to do the reset would be, you're feeling like it's not working. You're, wondering about what would happen if I made changes in nutrition. That would be one reason, but you can still do the Stronger 7 workouts. You're going to, if you're in a program that seems to be going okay, feel great energy, feel good doing it. You just will, when we have strength training workouts, you'll just use that as opposed to what I'm giving those who are coming in who don't have anything going on yet and who truly need a reset on exercise as well, or need to kickstart an exercise program. So you could do both. You just don't want to do anything extra. So as far as the other exercise, and you will park your workouts for week one. So we won't do any at all during week one. So based on that, consider it. And I would look at other markers. Are inches changing? Is sleep improving? Is strength improving? Anything else that you can look at, non-scale wins. For helping, is your lean muscle mass going up? Joanne said, I'm late to selecting my 12-week program, but I've just decided today to do the total reset. Should I select a 12-week program in addition to doing reset? Confused on what to do. Joanne, as long as you're deciding to do the 12-week, or I'm sorry, the total reset, I would just start with that. And, you know, then after a look at, okay, how do I feel? I've probably decreased inflammation if I needed to do that. I've got a really good sound start. And then start that 12-week program then. That would be my advice. And that kind of keeps it simple and streamlined. So, Lori, answering that for you too, hopefully. Stephanie said, I have a question about form. Last week, I heard you talking with a member about bent arm pullover, and that is a back exercise. However, I feel it mostly and notice it in my triceps when I do them. Really focus on making sure my back is pressed to the floor. Am I doing it wrong since I feel it in my triceps? You are not. As long as you know with absolute certainty, I am not moving my elbow. I'm moving from my shoulder. Your triceps crosses your shoulder, and very rarely are you moving it with that kind of range of motion. So it's normal and natural for you to feel it in your triceps more than in a very large back muscle that probably is going to struggle to reach fatigue without us causing real challenges with our upper back and neck, our upper trapezius muscles. So that's not unusual that you'd feel it in your triceps because again, we are holding statically with them. And you are probably getting a significant stretch in those triceps because they insert or actually have their origin at the shoulder joint. But as long as you know, I'm not flexing and extending, you're only flexing and extending from the shoulder joint. There is a little work that's happening through the triceps, mostly an eccentric contraction. That means the muscle's getting longer. As we bring it up, the muscle shortens. It is this eccentric contraction, keeping your back down, that actually is causing that little bit of, I can feel that in my triceps. And indeed, you are working them a little bit, which is unusual because usually we say back and biceps. That's the pairing, right? But not in this case. So, I hope that helps kind of clear the confusion and a no, it's not wrong at all. And it's also not unusual for, I know some of you have mentioned, I never really feel fatigue in my chest, like pectoral muscles never really feel fatigued. You know, it's sometimes really hard to get to that point, even when you're lifting a really heavy weight. It's not just about the weight, it's several things. That's a larger muscle group. You're able to handle a lot of things. And this similarly with your back muscles. You may overall feel like you're doing some work, but you may not feel it while you're doing the work, if that makes sense. Meaning you will feel or notice it the next day that, okay, yeah, you know, I feel a little, you know, achy or sore, more like I need a massage, not necessarily like, oh, I worked that muscle, like you might in your biceps. So, for anybody who's got that same or similar question, hope that makes some sense. Carolyn, I read that hammer curls versus bicep curls help build grip strength. Is that something you agree with? I don't think so, no. They're both going to help with your grip strength. Yeah. Overall, total body strength increases grip strength. We're not just increasing grip strength because we've squeezed something. So it is your total body gets stronger. That is about how much weight did you curl? It's not about did you have a neutral grip or did you have a palm up, supinated grip? Alice said, do you recommend creatine? I do, yes. So flipping50.com/resources, you can see the one I use is not monohydrate, though it's HCL. It's better absorbed. I've noticed better results from it, less gastric upset for the women that I coach that find that to be true, that thought they were bloated on mono. Don't seem to have that problem on HCL. Desi says, and hello, I have large breasts and my trapezius muscles and neck keep seizing up. Do you have something that you recommend? Strength. So greater strength, yes. And I think the ability to realize where you're tensing versus you're strengthening. So being able to be aware of, my shoulders feel like they're closer to my ears than they should be, and being able to put that down. So signaling with a breath or with other things, but as you gain strength, ideally that will improve. The other thing is focusing on the rhomboids. So if I can, if you imagine that my hands were my shoulder blades, so shoulder blades on your back don't have a lot of attachment anywhere. So they are one bone, not attached to any other bony structure. They're just sewn together with muscle, and they tend to float apart because our muscles get lazy. So your shoulder blades may be like this, and they may be winging out here at the bottom or tipping out, and the corners of them kind of protrude and stick out. One of the reasons why is the rhomboids kind of sew the medial side of the scapula in toward our spine. And the rhomboids are really lazy, and we do a lot of work out front. So we get here, and when your rhomboids are not pulling them together, the other domino effect is we start kind of lifting up. So we don't keep the shoulders depressed and down, and we don't sew the shoulder blades back. So if you would just all do that with me, drop your shoulders down. Bring your shoulders back, not so that you have military posture, not so that you're rigid, but so that you actually feel like there's space between your ears and your shoulders, and that you've drawn your shoulders together down toward your hip is the direction you're trying to get them to go. That actually may suddenly feel like you're a little bit more open across the shoulders, but it takes focus and concentration at first, because you've got to set them there. But if we can strengthen the rhomboids between those shoulder blades and get them to do their job, then these guys don't overfire so much. And so getting strength in pulling exercises will be helpful. But for all of us, that is all of that collectively can be problematic. But for you, because you have a postural kind of imbalance, it's going to be amplified. So the need for you is greater to work on those rhomboids, and just structurally thinking about pulling the shoulder blades back together, pulling the shoulder blades literally back to a wall if you back against it, can be helpful. So it doesn't take a lot. You will often see fitness instructors do this one. You don't see me do this, but you can take a band and put your arms about 12 inches apart, and then just do what they call pull apart. Keep your elbows soft, slightly bent, and just work on pulling that band. And this is a wire, it's not going to pull or go anywhere. But you would just work that pull apart. And while you're doing it, you're not thinking muscling it, you're thinking shoulder blades pulling together, and you're working those muscles. And you can do it out here, you can do it a little bit lower, and you can do it a little bit higher. But I would work on those and do it regularly to see if you can help those postural muscles kind of ease some tension. Sherelle says, thank you, makes sense. Check out the items. Carolyn said, Santa gave my family a weight cable workout machine. After I complete the reset challenge, should I choose Stronger 10 to best utilize the machine? Certainly you can. So either 8 or 10, those are both demo videos, but they're definitely gym videos. And so, Carolyn, if you have access in the app, and I know by next week, my hope is 100% of you do, and I know there's still some app issues, so not overstepping that, by the way. You can sneak a peek at those demo videos anytime you want to. So you could slip them in to any program. if you wanted to use it in the middle of a workout and you're there with your dumbbells doing other things, but you want to know, can I do a standing row or can I do a standing pull down? You could slip any of those things in, and including there's some core exercises you should be able to look at as well. So that's fun. Patty says, how much did the fitness reset cost? I have the email telling me about it, but did not see the cost. So if you're a VIP member, it's included in your membership. So it's the challenge for January. If you got in and we closed December 31st, so it was for the first 3 or 5 days, I think after the masterclass in January, it was 97. And then it was open for 149, I think, until the end of the month. But we launched on the 1st. So we will offer it again probably later this spring. We don't have a date at the moment. Denise said, now I have a question about the reset. I have been away from home for 6 weeks, so my workouts aside from running and walking have been sporadic. I did a Stronger 7 workout today. Felt great. We'll be traveling again, so will not watch the program live other than tomorrow's session. Since I will not be able to participate 100%, should I just continue with a Stronger program? So I'm going to throw a question back to you, I guess. A big part of the program is about improving sleep, and probably the biggest part that impacts so many people is the dietary piece, which is you may be able to do that very willingly while you travel, but you'll need to be high maintenance. You'll need to be that person who says, oh, you know what, I'm not eating that right now, it doesn't agree with me, and be willing to go out of your way to do it. So unless you have a kitchen and you're going to be cooking for yourself, it might be a little bit more difficult to participate, and you might feel like this might not be the perfect time for me. So I'll leave that to you, but I think that's probably the biggest piece for everybody, is doing the dietary changes, having done the shopping, picked the recipes, done the prep, and doing the elimination of food sensitivities for the first 3 weeks. Stephanie says, thanks for the explanation. Appreciate how clearly you explain how to do each exercise, keeping my arm still. So I'm doing it. I guess I'm doing it correctly. Yes. And thanks for the creatine. Yes. Was it monohydrate creatine that causes bloating? Yes. More so for more individuals. What was the type that doesn't? HCL. So HCL. Linda said, I'm seeing a functional doctor tomorrow morning. Yay! Do I ask for just a micronutrient blood draw? One of my main needs is to find causes of my bone loss. I don't know if it's two different requests. May need to find out if I'm absorbing my food. Is that something extra to ask? Yes. So depending on if you have a functional doctor, you're going to have no problem. If you have a Western doctor, they'll look at you like a deer in the headlights if you say micronutrient blood draw. So it's typically not included in insurance, and then they're reluctant to do it. So they probably won't unless there's an absolute reason. But you would need to say specifically, I want to look at this, this, and this. So if it were me, I want to look at my calcium levels. I want to look at, because you do want to know your calcium in your blood. Is it there instead of your bone? You want to know your magnesium levels, and you want to know your vitamin D levels. And so all of those would be things that I would ask for. If there's any issue with energy, for some of you who struggle with that, I would expand that and probably ask for B, look at B and the whole suite, B6, B12, or others as well, and iron even for those of you who are postmenopausal, in the last week, I've talked to a couple of women who are postmenopausal that always had seemed to be in the low category and tested and were extremely low. And it's not the first thing that most physicians would think of with a postmenopausal woman. If there were a young woman who were cycling regularly, they would probably look at it a lot sooner. So you may have to ask for it. So if you're looking to see if you're absorbing it, you might want to look at a stool test. So that's where you again need to ask, you know, about that. Sometimes the first stop is let's look at micronutrient density, and you know, secondly, might look at a stool test. So you could do that all in one fell swoop, or you could do that in pieces. But the stool test would bring back your good and bad microbiome. And if it's off, generally it's probably an indication that you're not absorbing everything, because it's just causing issues for you. But we want to get that back in balance. So Carolyn says, I've been loving searching through the app. That's what helped me find the knee support workout so quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Bright spot in my day. So no secret, total transparency, many of you. I know it's been a bumpy ride. So if anybody, if you're feeling it, know that I feel it times 100. Okay. I feel it for you. And that is not our goal. But tech being what it is, it's why we kept you in the membership. We won't shut that down until everything is smoothly happening on the other side. Denise said, thanks, that helps. I won't have a kitchen for 3 weeks. I would just then go have fun. And you can. So what will happen when we're done doing this all live? We're not going to try to juggle and put it into the membership like right now as we go, but it will be a static, if you will, challenge that you could do. And the way we've done that in the past with the 28-day kickstart, it's still something that you can do, and you mentally could say, okay, here's, I'm going to do my calls on Monday. So I'm going to, you know, week one is this Monday, week two will be next Monday. And you can pretend as if I'm going through it, or recruit and round up other people from the community to do that with you. So hope that helps. And you're welcome, Linda. Do you recommend collagen? And if so, what particular kind? So you walked right into that, or you opened the door for me too. So we have a flipping 50 collagen boost. And the defining part about doing that is that it has all the right strains in it. So we wanted those that are for, yes, hair, skin, and nails, but we also wanted proprietary blend that was for the gut and that was good for connective tissue. So I think for me, I mean, who doesn't want their skin to improve? But connective tissue is by far, you know, the supporting role that, you know, I want to do everything I can for connective tissue. And I think we all would or should. Those of you who haven't experienced anything yet probably still feel bulletproof, but I think there is a point where, gosh, all of a sudden I've started thinking about my knees, or I've started thinking about my shoulder, or my, you name it. And I think there are people who will say, it's so controversial, don't waste your money. And, you know, they will point at people who have a product. Again, total transparency. So, and say they just want to sell you something. And, you know, purely, if we were a business, we operate with, we have to look at a profit and loss. I can't afford to have a product just because I like it, or just because I think we're going to sell it. I mean, if it's really beneficial, we know that people will want it and get it and continue getting it, and otherwise they'll stop. So I notice a big difference when I'm using it on a regular basis. I stack it. So I like our plant-based better than I like the paleo. I'm an anomaly. All of you like the paleo far more. And I stack the collagen together with the pea protein, the plant-based, so that I'm getting the collagen plus and basically elevating the essential amino acid profile of the plant-based protein that I'm getting. I can do collagen in my tea or my coffee, and that's great for blood sugar stabilization and maybe some help. It's not necessarily enough for muscle. So the low profile of the essential amino acids in it don't help muscle. They're not enough to get over that muscle protein synthesis hump. But absolutely, they are good for gut lining. Your skin, hair, and nails will thank you. And, take a challenge. The problem with some of us, I don't know who might that be, is that we buy supplements and then we don't take them regularly. And so we're not convinced they work, but not necessarily because they don't work, but because we don't take them consistently enough to give them the chance. We don't do that when we have a prescription because we paid for it. We paid to have a doctor tell us to do it. So we really have invested in it and we don't not do it. But when we buy supplements for some reason, there is definitely a health behavior difference in our follow through there. So if you've got collagen sitting on your shelf and the expiration date isn't for a while, go get it out and give yourself an experiment. Until it's done, take it every day and see if you notice something. Do your nails grow a little faster? There may be some slight changes or differences. And if anything, it's not going to hurt you. Okay. Hopefully that helps. And Patty says, what is consistently taking supplements 3 to 6 months? That is a great question. I would say if you're taking the right supplement and depending on the severity of the problem, if you're fixing a problem, I think you will notice faster than if you are looking for leveling up from a B to an A, if that makes sense, right? So if you are really trying to fix something that doesn't work, so two things come to mind right away. One is constipation, regularity, or sleep. And so the magnesium is the supplement that you would take. But a lot of women had told me magnesium really didn't work for me, and I will say, well, how much were you taking and how often? It's like, well, when I remembered, I'm like, okay, well, let's back up a minute because we don't really know if it works or not if we didn't take it seriously. And so if it were going to work for somebody, and we were getting to the right dose with sleep, it could take less than a week to have a noticeable change by getting to the right dose and then hanging there. Same with regularity in that case. So if it's a significant problem, you're going to notice results differently. If your skin is, you're a B, you're a solid B, and you really want to be an A plus, it may take a little bit longer. Because you're already doing pretty well. And so you might not see, that you've had, a BBL laser or something like that. It's not going to have the same quick effect. So that's a hard one to answer, Patty. You ask a hard question. Carolyn said, I'm going to say that I too have seen a better response from using a Flipping 50 collagen versus other brands. Been trying other very well-known and respected brands due to sales. I'm ordering Flipping 50 collagen. By using other brands, I think has been adding to my knee crankiness. Interesting. Yeah. And in terms of the knees, by the way, I will throw this out and I'm gonna get my bottle here, so hang on. And we are wrapping up. If you have a question, ask it quick. But the other thing for knees that I take, and this is my brand, I'm not an affiliate. I absolutely would if they would let me, but I'm not, is Nordic Naturals. This is my omegas. And I buy the one that is, it's got omegas with D3. And I don't necessarily need to supplement with D3. If I did, I probably would not take this combination. I would take the D3 in the amount I needed to get to sufficiency. But I take this one that is 2 times the normal. So a dose is typically 1,000 milligrams of combined EPA and DHA, not other, which we'll read on the label. But you want to add together your EPA and DHA and make sure that those are at least 1,000 milligrams. Now, this one is going to give me about 2,000 of those. And I'll take just one serving of this. If I were training, and really, I'll say this about myself, I wouldn't say it about you, stupid enough to do another Ironman, I would take probably twice this. So I'd take this dose in the morning and I'd take it again at night, knowing I'm going to be inspiring my own inflammation in training, and I'm going to do it chronically. So we don't actually want to bring down our own body's ability to deal with inflammation itself just after a workout necessarily. But on a regular basis, or if we were going on retreats in Boulder and we knew we were going to go long hikes Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday morning, I would during that take it to be comfortable and be able to recover and enjoy, right? But ordinarily, just doing a long hike, you want to let your body kick in because it will have an inflammatory response, but it's kind of like a fever is a good sign your body is fighting it and you want that to happen. So you want to do that and don't throw all those inflammatory things at it. But for knees, there is some proof that high doses, higher than the norm, is beneficial, especially for people who've got noticeable knee pain. So if you're not already taking it, and if you're just taking the 1,000 milligrams, you might want to consider, what about increasing that if I haven't noticed a big difference? So just food for thought. I don't diagnose and I don't treat, just by the way, want to make that clear. Denise said, what is the collagen called again? It's called Collagen Boost, and you can find it at flipping50.com/protein. All of the products are on that page. Sherelle, it's Flipping 50s. It's ours. So you'll find it at flipping50.com. Are you back in Colorado? No, do I look cold? No, I'm in Iowa, Denise, because my baby Dean, my first grandson, is here and he's rolling over officially. So I had to go see the show last night. Kay said, I'm an Essentials member, purchased the Total Reset. Is that lifetime access? Well, it is. Let's call it long time access, okay? Just in case. Don't back me into a corner, but yes, you won't lose access to it. So you'll be able to log in and watch those replays and any of the exercise videos that are put in there. Yes, long after the fact, okay? Yep. Okay, everybody, I think we did it. I got everybody's question answered. If I missed yours, I apologize. And we have 3 people who are up for Wednesday the 14th. And thank you for volunteering and jumping in on those. So now that I know we have 3, I'll be sure that we keep you in the queue and make sure we've got good time for you. All right. Happy New Year, everybody. Make it a good one. First full week of the brand new year, and never too late to set another intention. All right.